This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And now I'm live. Okay, now we're going to officially start our show here on Pet Life Radio and Instagram. You know the drill. Here for you, here for your pets. Easy to get hold of me, 877-385-8882. Once again, 877-385-8882. And any questions you have, now's the time. Here on Instagram Live, I'm starting to get some people I know. Stephanie, hello. And My Life with Corgis. Blair Kaplan, hello, Blair. And so, if you have questions, now's the time to ask. You know, there are lots of, first of all, AB, my sister's on. So, had some interesting cases this week. First of all, probably one of the funnest things I did this week was spay my daughter's 105-pound pig. And it was funny having, you know, an office exam room, the reception area full of dogs and cats. And all of a sudden, they hear this sound coming from the back door. And they're going, what is that? It certainly doesn't sound like a dog. And then we walk in this very, very, well, actually, she's not huge. She's her male pig is 190 pounds. So, but her name is Willow. And we've neutered the male a while back. And it was time to spay the female. And I'm telling you, this thing was fantastic and really, really sweet. You know, it's amazing. They are really, really smart. I think in some ways they're smarter than some of the dogs, certainly some of my own dogs. My own dogs aren't that smart, but they're really cute. But anyway, it was really fun. It went very, very well. Very interesting anatomy. Their intestines, so you would think a large animal like that would have like much thicker walled intestines, at least as thick as a male. I mean, as a dog. No, they are, you can almost see through them. It is unbelievable. And the uterus is all sorts of weird curly Q. I mean, it is, I mean, and anatomically, everything's in the same place. But from an actual, the uterus itself, the intestines, everything is just looks a little bit differently. And you got to get used to it, I guess. But, and of course, because of the weight of the abdomen and the thick skin and the thick body wall, we're using a much thicker, heavy-duty suture. But anyway, all in all, it was cute. She did well. You know, it's funny. They have a lot of fat, obviously. So the anesthetic that we use, even as an induction, is harbored in that fat for a while. So it wasn't like instantly that she gets up just like a dog can. So anyway, it was very, very, very interesting. Shannon, hi. Can you talk about carpal hyperextension? My senior foster is a pretty severe case, both front legs. A lot of opinions, but it seems like surgery is complex and they are recommending physical therapy. Okay, so she is not in pain. So it is basically the flexor tendons, okay, are torn. So you have extension and you have flexion. So when the flexion centers are torn, then the extensions take over. And it's almost like they will be able to touch the actual carpal pad, which doesn't usually touch the accessory carpal pad, doesn't usually touch the floor at all, but it's up there to about maybe a couple of inches higher. And now it does. So they learn how to walk. She's probably not in pain. It doesn't have the same mobility possibilities that she can do because of the anomaly. What they need to do, and this is where the difficulty comes in, is what's called a carpal fusion. And that is it's done by a surgeon, an orthopedic surgeon, where they go in the different levels of the carpal bones and they take away all the cartilage. They basically shave it off. Then they put the leg in the normal position as it should be, put a plate and let all the bones heal together. So what happens is the only movement they'll have at that time then is going to be from the elbow, okay? The carpus is frozen, and then the digits. So those will still work. The elbow will still work, but the carpus will be in a frozen position, that normal position. So they won't be able to do this anymore. It's always going to be just the way a dog's carpus is. It's kind of like that, and it's going to stay like that. They do well. So it's hard to tell you what's the best. The dog today is a young dog. A young dog, I probably would consider it. Again, done by a surgeon. It's not cheap. But there's no way to, if those flexor tendons are torn or the musculature is abnormal, there's no way to actually fix that. So it's going to have to be usually one way or the other. And unless there's something new coming up, you can try, physical therapy could help. Maybe stem cell therapy might help. Take the plasma, that could help. So there are some things that might be useful, but I know it's going to be, I think I have a dog. In fact, I saw a dog last week that had it done. They do fine. They really do. So just keep that in mind. So getting a lot of vaccine questions lately, and you know, something also there's a new product out there called Bravecto Quantum. And it's supposed to be a single injection that's good for, I think, a year. I don't know much about it, and I'm getting asked about it. And I always say I blame when it happens, I kind of blame the staff, the drug reps that are supposed to come in and prep us about all these new things, because we don't know about it otherwise. It's not going to end up in a scientific journal. So we don't get those. So we rely on them. And I know very little about it. So I will tell you this. The Bravecto is a very good product. I will tell you that the Bravecto itself is good for 12 weeks, so they advertise. I have very rarely do I see it working for 12 weeks. 8 weeks, yes. Usually most of the others are 30 days, 4 weeks, okay, a month. The Bravecto, you're supposed to get 12 weeks, 3 months. They say, don't say 3 months, say 12 weeks. I mean, really? Makes that much of a difference? So I am a bit cautious about something new like an annual shot. Now, here's another problem I have with long-term injections. And we have no idea how a dog is going to react to a certain medication. If you give an injection that's in that system for a long time, you can't pull it out. It's there. So now what do? Now you're fighting some sort of bad reaction, and there's no way to retrieve it. Now, if we give something in a pill form, you can treat it. And you know, okay, put that on a new list of things not to use again. Because my dog, it's good, supposedly safe, but my dog didn't do well with it. So I keep that in mind. Now, one last thing also, speaking of reactions, we've talked about Librela. I'm sure you got online and you see a lot of bad things about Librela. I have not had any really bad things, but I just had my second reaction. Now we're talking, you know, hundreds of doses. But I will say this, I'm not sure. This is an older dog that was also getting other medication. And all of a sudden has a bad reaction. Now, when you're giving something monthly and then you have a bad reaction at some point during the month, all right, does that mean that it was the medicine that you gave that caused it? Or did something else? I don't know. And there's no way to tell. So what I would do in a case like that, if this happens, is avoid that medication again for a few months. All right. See how the pet does. Then if you're bold enough, try it again. And if everything is good, then you know it wasn't the injection. And if it's not good, then you know, okay, now you're going to mark that on your list of things to avoid forever and ever. So that's something that you just need to know. It is it's an issue. Now, other things that I've gotten, I'm just trying to share some interesting cases. We have a very young cat that literally end up with probably some sort of virus. We don't know what it was, but I've never seen lungs like this in a young cat. Now, also had very high kidney enzymes. And when I asked the owner, I always ask when it comes to cats, young cats with kidney issues, I say, Blair thinks that Librela gave her dog cancer. I mean, it's possible. Blair, I need to know how old the dog was. Because there are a lot of dogs coming up with cancer that had nothing to do with Librela. But if it was a young dog or fairly young and everything else was perfect before, that's another thing I should tell you to do, guys. When you are starting anything like this, even this new Quantum, anything you're going to try that is new, especially if it has some bad things going on, see, a 12-year-old dog, that there are a lot of reasons a 12-year-old dog gets. Now, let's give you one of the other stories about Librela and cancer. But to make sure before you start, you have your dog thoroughly checked out. And most dogs that are even considering, most owners considering using Librela, they're using because of arthritis and pain. That's usually an old dog. So make sure that you do x-rays, ultrasound, maybe the abdomen, of course, blood tests, urinalysis. Make sure the dog is really in good shape. And the only thing you might see on an x-ray is arthritis. If you have one such dog, then yes, I would say go ahead and give it a try. Now, there was one of the early cases of reaction to Librela was a dog that died very soon after a Librela injection. And right away, oh my God, Librela, Librela, Librela. Well, Zoetis, being very cautious and really backing their product, and the fact that it's had millions of doses in Europe before it even got approved here in the U.S., they sent the dog to an independent pathologist for an autopsy. They didn't want to be the one to do it because then they're going to say, oh, yeah, of course you're going to say. No, no, they participated, completely independent. It came back. The dog had a splenic tumor that ruptured, and the dog bled out in overnight, which is exactly what happens if you have a ruptured spleen because of a splenic tumor, and it happens at night and everyone's asleep. Sometimes you can get it. It happens during the day. You see a dog becoming lethargic. You check the gums are white. The belly is getting bloated. You rush him to the vet. We put an ultrasound probe on. We see fluid. We stick a needle, find out his blood, immediate surgery. And we've saved many, many, many of those dogs. But sometimes it happens in the middle of the night. Unfortunately, you don't know it. You wake up to a dead dog. So anyway, so again, because it was an older dog, and you most times you're going to use medicines that, like these on an older dog. So it is something that you have to be aware of. So I don't know, Blair, if the dog had a full physician, but, you know, could it have, if everything else was perfect and it did it, then yes, it could have done something to the immune system. Absolutely. Any other interesting cases that you guys have had, share with us. So anyway, back to some of the vaccine stuff I had mentioned. So we're getting a lot of questions. It's amazing because of how much bad stuff is going on with that. Now, I would say bad stuff, bad literature, bad posts about vaccines. People are getting extremely, extremely hypervigilant about vaccines. In a way, I'm not anti-vaccine at all, but I am a fan of vaccines for diseases that are either deadly and common in an area. So I am a very much of a core vaccine kind of guy. And that core depends on where you live. For example, if you are not hiking with your dog in the canyons or the mountains and they are not exposed to rattlesnakes, I am not going to recommend a rattlesnake vaccine. Here in Los Angeles, I'm not going to recommend a vaccine against Lyme disease. We just aren't seeing it. On as far as things like heartworm, I am kind of still on the fence because certain parts of LA, people are seeing a lot of mosquitoes. So for me, I tell people this, if you are killing, swatting mosquitoes in your backyard when you are out there, then yes, have your dog tested for heartworm and put them on heartworm prevention. But if you are not, then don't do it as a routine. Now, if you're planning on using one of the great isoxazolines with the heartworm addition, which is NexGard Plus, Simparica Trio, and Credelio Plus, then see your veterinarian just to make sure that your drug is heartworm negative. It's going to be 90, high 90s% of the time, but just to be safe, make sure they're heartworm negative and then go ahead and start the newer isoxazolines that have heartworm prevention. It's not a downer. It's not a downside price-wise. It's really not that much more expensive than one where that doesn't offer that prevention. So certainly if you're already using either Interceptor or HeartGuard or one of the heartworm preventatives, then 100%, and you're using an isoxazoline, 100% go to the ones, go to that way you only have one pill a month. It makes it so much easier. So that's what I'd recommend. But as far as the others, influenza, that's a biggie. It's already 9:19. I'm going to break for 1 second or whatever, 2 minutes, whatever Mark tells me. And we're going to break for commercials here at Pet Life Radio. But stay tuned here on Instagram and we'll continue.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets
on Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio. LinsGraham.com.
We're back live here on Pet Life Radio 2. Had a great question. So I'm so bummed. This dog was a beautiful, beautiful dog. And I mean, when you have a dog, by the way, and this is also, you know, good for you when it comes to hopscotch. When you have a dog that you know has a tendency to eat inanimate, weird stuff for the sake of eating, chewing, then you need to be hypervigilant. You need to, when you leave a room or you leave that dog somewhere, right? I have one such dog, my Labrador. When Labradors are known for this, I always turn around and say to myself, what can he possibly get a hold of? Just possibly. Not that he will, not that it'll be easy, just remotely possible. And if there is a possibility, any possibility, he has to climb a ladder to get it, I would remove it. I just don't trust him. And this is where you have to be. So now, Hopscotch just taught you that he is truly one such dog. And you cannot leave him in a room outside where there's anything. If you have a hose, for example, in the outside, and he's outside, roll it up and move it to another part of the yard or put it up high, bring it inside, something. Because these dogs, when they get that urge, they will chew. And I have many dogs over the years that this behavior literally led to their demise. So we don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen. And I know you don't want that to happen. So be very, very, very careful. All right. Outbreaks that are happening in our area is being brought to you. The only one in LA area that I would say it's an outbreak. The outbreaks are leptospirosis is pretty much gone. I haven't heard anything. I do not use lepto on my own dogs. Again, lifestyle. If you do a lot of hiking, if you go to Runyon, if you go in the canyons, if you go to the mountains where there are running streams and you know wild animals reside, then yes, you should do lepto, 100%. But if you're just walking around the neighborhood, we're not seeing it. Now, yes, we have skunks, we have raccoons, we don't have a lot of rat problem. We have coyotes. If not that those are good things to have by chance, by any means, but if they were shedding lepto, I'd be seeing a lot of lepto cases and I would be recommending to you and I would have my own pets vaccinated against leptospirosis. I'm just not seeing it. The one that we're seeing a lot of, and I'm still on the fence, but I'm recommending it a little bit more, is the influenza. We've already vaccinated against Bordetella. In the distemper parvo vaccine, the second P is for para-influenza. So we're doing that. Mycoplasma, another respiratory bug, there's no vaccine out there yet. So if we can already hit three of them or two of them, why not go after the third, go after the influenza as well? It's part of that CIRDC, canine infectious respiratory disease complex. So CIRDC, correct, complex. And that's what you want to do. It is probably a smart thing to do. Is it 100% necessary? I can't tell you. And again, when it comes to these, some of you out there that are really anti, remember, if they get influenza, if they get Bordetella, it's usually not deadly. Now, if some dogs are immunocompromised, and they get a severe respiratory infection, then yes, something like that could happen. But that's not often the case. So if you want to give, I tell someone who's really against it, you know, I'll tell you what. I say, why don't you don't do the gut shot, see what happens. The worst scenario is the dog will get a case of Bordetella. It'll be a respiratory infection. It'll be like us getting a cold for a week. All right? Then after that, you can decide. If you think there's a possibility because of lifestyle, it's going to happen again, give them the vaccine. It's not a big deal. All right. How long can it take for a big dog to eliminate soft toys? Well, eliminating is one thing. They probably broke it up in the intestine, probably getting soft stool. My question is he squatting in that poop position and sitting there pushing, as if trying to get something out? Usually once whatever it is gets into the colon, meaning it finally went through the ileocecal-colic junction, which is very narrow. That's when a lot of these things get stuck. Once something gets into the colon, it's going to pass because the colon stretches really wide, wider than the intestine. So that means it made it way through, all the way through, made it through the inguinal, the ileocecal-colic junction, it's going to make it through the colon. But it could take several days if it's big. Now, if part of it is maybe still stuck in the stomach, could they still get other food through? Yes, as long as it doesn't block the pylorus. Could it make him not vomit? Maybe. So You know, usually I would think that if there was something in there in the stomach that's trying to come out, they would vomit or it would pass. So if there's any concern, we should set up, you know, a day we can do an x-ray for sure and see what's going on there. And then based on that, we can do an ultrasound. You're looking for dogs to lick air when they wake up. I would say it's not unusual. It's not usual, but it's not unusual. Some dogs will do it. And it's almost like if they have dry mouth when they sleep, then they get up. You know, what do? We swallow. We try to, you know, get some saliva going. That might be something to do. If it's only when they wake up, they're not showing any other signs, they're not going after flies, that's a behavior issue, then I wouldn't worry about it. Let's see. A coworker called me on Friday saying her dog woke up unable to walk. It is that she signed up for air, but she was too frantic. Any suggestions how I can explain it? And how long until we lost her there? Okay. First of all, if a dog can't walk acutely, depending on the breed, you definitely want to have a scene like ASAP. If there are some tests that a veterinarian will do to evaluate the nerve and the nerve transmission through the dog, through the limbs, to the spine, to the brain, okay? And if a dog can't walk, is it all four legs? Is it just the hind legs? Do they have deep pain? Are they able to stand at all? Are they completely limp? These are all things that a veterinarian needs to see to determine, is this a case that's going to get a CT like immediately or an MRI and then go in for surgery? Is it one of those long back dogs that we know have back problems like a Doxies? Is it a Frenchie? Because Frenchies have terrible back problems and they can get lame. And when it happens, it can happen very quickly. Now, if it's just a soreness or a stiffness and they can stand and there is deep pain, right, then we'll treat it a little differently. I would treat it conservatively at first with rest and steroids. I don't like when there's a potential of back pain, disc involvement. I am not a fan of the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. I know a lot of the younger doctors are, but it's interesting. Every time I talk to a surgeon, they all say the same thing. If you're going to treat conservatively, go with steroids. And I'm still that old-fashioned guy. I'm going with steroids. I use non-steroidals for a lot of other things. But we used to use steroids too. But when it comes to spine, when it comes to disc potential for IVDD, I'm going with the steroids. And most surgeons would agree with me. And as far as AirVet, it's so easy. Just, you know, you can just download it. It's in the App Store, Google Play. It's called AirVet. You want the AirVet Blue, which is the one for pet parents. And I might even say AirVet for pet parents. Follow the prompts, sign up. And when you're all signed up, hit a button. You'll be talking to a veterinarian virtually online on camera who can see you, talk to you, see your dog, see what he's doing, ask you to do things for the dog to see if what kind of response you get. And that will determine and direct you to what the next best step is going to be. All right. So when someone signs up, minutes, they sign up. As I said, once you're signed up, you'll have a choice. There's a way to be able to request your vet if your vet's on AirVet, okay? But since many of mine, you can either choose to chat with a veterinary nurse, which I wouldn't do in a case like this. It's cheaper. It's not video. It's just texting. Or video, talk to a vet now. And that's going to take you within a minute and a half max, to a veterinarian on camera. And you start talking. So that's how it works. And it's really, really effective. Have I seen or heard about the supplements NAD for dogs appeared in our algorithm? And I cannot see any research. Oh my God. So I am a big fan. I did my research. There was research I found, quite a bit as a matter of fact. And I was so impressed with the research that I started taking an NAD supplement myself. And I've been taking it now for a couple of months. People say, do you feel anything? I don't feel any different. Of course, I remember to take it every morning. That's a plus. But I have my dogs on one. It's called Leap Years. That was the company that approached me to do some work with them. And I say, look, I love doing that work. I love promoting if it's a good product, but I need to do some homework first. I went online, started researching NAD plus ribosome. The ribosome has a couple of ingredients in it that, in fact, one of them is nicotinamide. And nicotinamide, my brother called me for this. Well, Bethany, you should hear this one. And you know, like the nicotine patches, that's like nicotinamide in very low, low doses. Some research showed that if you take the very lowest dose, I think it's 7.5 milligram patches, that it will enhance. It does the same thing. It sharpens your brain. It sharpens your memory, sharpens your focus. And they're using that now to do the same thing. And I think that the NAD, the N is nicotinamide adenosine. I don't even know what it all stands for. And nucleotide. And it is, I would try it. I would. I was very impressed. And if you do some homework, you should find it. If you find, just look up NAD plus, look up nicotinamide. You will see a lot of literature on it. And I find it pretty fascinating. Skunks, possums sit in the yard at night. Lulu sniffs the ground when she goes out in the morning. She was getting that disease from that. Well, we haven't seen it in cases like that. Is it a possibility? Yes. If you're seeing it frequently, like every night, they're running through your yard, there's no downside. It's a safe vaccine. The only thing that people have told me with this vaccine is a little bit of a vaccine reaction, not a systemic reaction, just a little pain at the injection site, and they might be kind of under the weather for a day. If you are worried about it, then it's worth it. It's worth it. If you live anywhere near the hills, I would say it's worth it. Thank you, Stephanie. I appreciate that. Okay, we love Aerovet. We talked to them almost once a week. Good. I love Aerovet too, obviously. I co-founded it with my son, but I know it's great. And I want to keep talking about other brushing. Well, there are a lot of products out there that promote their ability to clean teeth. I think it's better than nothing. Certain chews are good. I even feed my big dog TD diet. It's tartar control diet. Does it make me feel good that I'm doing it? Yes, but is it truly making a huge difference? Now, he's got good teeth anyway, so it's hard to tell. I haven't not fed him TD in years, so for all I know, maybe it's working. But the absolute, all agreed, best thing you can do is brush your pet's teeth. And I've shown many ways how to do it. You know the one I love the best is you get behind them, they're facing away from you, and you come at them from behind, and you're rubbing it first with your finger and the dentifrice. It's non-sudsing, flavored. Once they get good at it, you always finish. Oh my God, you're so good. You're so good. And give a treat, hugs and kisses. And, you know, that's great. They're going to start looking forward to this. Means all of that good stuff at the end. Then you put the finger brush on. Get the ones, this little silicone rubber finger brush. The ones with real toothbrush bristles. You try that. Again, start slow again. Get them in the habit. Start them young. It will work. And that is the best way to keep the teeth in good shape. Nicotinamide, right? Well, that is NAD. That's what's in the NAD plus. That's the formulation. The N is for nicotinamide, dinucleotide, ribosomal. Look it up. I use one by Ruess Labs. I think it's R-E-U-S. It might be R-U-E-S Laboratories. They have a couple of different ones. I got the one that's the max. And I take it every morning. I take two every morning. So, but that is the what's in the NAD plus. Dental cleaning and anesthesia once a month. Oh, no. Oh, dental cleanings without anesthesia. So if you have a place that does a good job, yes, you can do it once a month. That will help. Anything you can do that will stop. The problem is that when the plaque, the film, is on the tooth more than 2-3 days, it's going to harden, become tartar, calculus, and you can't remove it by brushing. Now, with dental cleaning, if they can do scraping, yes, then that might work. So if you are up for that and doing once a month, instead of brushing, that's better than not brushing and doing nothing and waiting for full anesthetic dentistry every 6 months to a year, depending on the dog, depending on the age, et cetera, et cetera. So the vaccine is leptospirosis. Leptospirosis, we have it, of course. I have a stray female cat, has horrible breath, severe damage to her face from a raccoon. We think she's about 8 months old. Anyway, well, first of all, if she had damage to her face, there was likely some damage inside the mouth as well. And there's probably either a fistula, a drainage tract between the nasal cavity and the mouth, or an infection deep in that mouth. And therefore, when there's an awful, awful smell, especially in a kitten, then there may be something going on. So that kitten needs to be thoroughly evaluated with anesthesia. And that's what you're going to need to do to really find out, is there a problem in the mouth and what you can do about it? Hopefully, if it's something that's fixable, and that remains to be seen. Okay. Why do dogs get gingivitis? They get gingivitis because of bad teeth and irritation. And okay, here's Ninja. Ninja is, first of all, he's 14. I just took him in. He is such a love. It's unbelievable. I took him in last week after what happened to Ollie. I was so nervous about missing something and I wanted to catch anything really early. So I brought him in because they're the same age. They were buddies. And so I know he feels the loss. It's very sad. Anyway, checked him out. X-rays, blood, urinalysis, the works. He is perfect. And I'm thrilled. He's the one, if you look at my Instagram feeds, that drinks water by sticking his head under the faucet. Right now, his head is wet because he lets the water drip down his face and he gets it from the side of his mouth. And he's a cuddler. When he jumps up next to me, all he wants to do is cuddle. He's the best. All right. Anyway, I think that's all we have time for. I am getting dirty looks from Mark. It's time. Time is over. And anyway, so thanks for joining me here. I thank you. Ninja thanks you. We call him Black Ninja. He's gorgeous. And we'll be here next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Right, Mark? Are we here next week? Yeah. We're here next week. So we will see you then. For those of my Jewish friends, Happy New Year. Hope you have a good time. And if you go to services, bear with it. It's not so terrible. All right. Any questions during the week? You know how to get a hold of me. Said it a million times. DrJeff@PetLifeRadio.com. DrJeff.com. Jeff@AirVet.com. On Instagram. You name it. I'm there. See you later.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.